Before I begin, I just want to say how happy I am, genuinely thrilled to be here with everyone and to have my first official Sunday with you. So I'm glad that each of you are here and that we get to kind of enjoy this moment together. I also want to encourage you to use the contact list that Ralph was telling you about. It has my email on there, and I would very much like to have conversations with anyone who is interested. So if you have time and would be willing to share kind of your story and the story of your relationship with the church and your understanding of who Church of the Covenant is as a people, I encourage you to send me an email and let's work on a time that we can get together and have some conversations. There's nothing more valuable to me at this point than conversations with all of you. So please feel free to do that, and I would encourage it. Let us now hear our scripture reading. It comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I encourage Iota and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel together. Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known by everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about all of these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me but had no opportunity to show it. Now that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of well-being, and I have learned the secret of being well-fed and going hungry, of having plenty and being in need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I actually had a surprisingly difficult time putting together this message about joy. I mean, I love joy. Some of the things that remind me the most of being joyful, like singing and laughing, are some of my favorite things in life. But after a few hours, literally hours of staring at a mostly blank page, I began to realize that I seem to have some sort of problem with joy. So it's not surprising, really. Over the past year or so, I've left a church job. My closest friend for 20 years has moved across the country. My mother passed away. My father experienced congestive heart failure. My daughter moved out of the house to go to college. And my wife asked for a separation. And that's just the highlights. And now I feel a little bit strange calling them highlights. It's not that I haven't experienced joy during that time. I definitely have. Being invited to join this community as interim minister has brought me already a great amount of joy. Having San Francisco Theological Seminary identify me this year as one of the 20-some people in the U.S. that they saw as leaders in doing creative ministry was certainly joyful, if not a bit humbling. So I've experienced joy. But this year I've experienced more of whatever the opposite of joy is. Some might call it depression. That's certainly the label that the clinical people gave me. Some might call it anxiety. Others might even call it fear. Whatever you might want to call it, I've had more of it than I actually thought was possible in the course of 1 year. And even in that, I realize that other people have experienced much more difficult things this year than I have. So, when I read Paul telling the church in Philippi, rejoice, don't worry about anything. Some translations actually say, don't be anxious about anything. Well, that's a little bit difficult to stomach. I mean, I want to rejoice. Sometimes it would seem that life has other plans. As a matter of fact, you know, as we move closer and closer to a time of holiday cheer and the joy of Christmas, I'm reminded that this season, the season of peace and joy, well, it does bring a certain increase in anxiety for some people. You know, what? I wonder if the family is going to manage to get along at the gathering this year. Or, you're not going to believe it, but the stores are already out of that Xbox One that Junior's been begging for. How in the world are we going to fit 42 people in our house? In some ways, we are such an anxiety-driven society that we have a difficult time letting go of it. Even during a season that's meant to encourage us to express the opposite of anxiety, things like love and hope and joy, we can find it really difficult to let go of anxiety. I actually think that our reading from Paul today is very helpful with that. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You see, while we are not always free to determine what happens to us, we are relatively free to choose how we will respond to whatever happens to us. Or as someone once said, we cannot revoke what has happened at the level of the event, but we can rework it at the level of significance, and that choice, how we respond to whatever happens, makes all the difference in the world. James Allen, author of a book entitled As Man Thinketh, once said, You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow wherever your thoughts take you. That reality is much more true than we sometimes want to believe. Our thoughts and emotions are represented in our bodies, actually, as electrochemical reactions. And these chemicals are constantly floating around in our bodies, and they're stored up in all sorts of different places. And the research on this is really clear. Negative thoughts, like anxiety, like fear, and the associated harmful chemicals that come with them, have a detrimental effect on our health and our outlook. Here's the thing. You can control the degree to which harmful chemicals float around in your body by adjusting your thinking pattern. Again, Philippians 4:8, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Start by making deliberate decisions to change how you are thinking. Resolve to make a concerted effort to think positively for, say, a week. And see if that doesn't make a difference in your attitude, in your emotions, and in your resulting behavior. Monitor your thinking patterns. Identify when you're thinking or meditating or having negative thoughts or thoughts that cause you to be anxious or are connected with in some other harmful way. Let as best to your ability as you can, let those go. Replace them with positive thoughts. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As I've mentioned over the past few weeks, I believe that the themes of Advent are actually the opposites of fear. So joy is an opposite of fear. And a perusal of Psychology Today will quickly make it evident that there is a very close relationship between fear and anxiety. And anxiety is one of the main issues that Paul was addressing in today's scripture reading. And his solution for the problem of anxiety, fear, seems to be joy. And one of the tools he sees for achieving the goal of joy, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you think directly impacts what you experience and how you react to it. And you can control the degree to which these harmful chemicals float around your body by adjusting your thinking patterns. We should actually keep in mind that this letter that Paul's written to the church was written from a jail cell. When Paul says, rejoice, do not be anxious, he's doing it from a place that most of us would neither rejoice in and probably will find a bit of anxiety in. This is not some pie-in-the-sky perspective from a minister who lives in a mansion. This comes from a place that is quite, that would seem to be at least, quite the opposite of joy. I have to be honest here. I find it very difficult to believe that Paul was joyful the entire time he was in jail. I mean, we know just how human he actually was, and we know just how human it is to sometimes be overcome with anxiety and fear. I just don't buy it when he says, don't be anxious about anything. And frankly, I don't think he did either. Considering some of the other parts of the text today, like where he tells us what we should be fixing our thoughts on, I believe that in saying, do not be anxious about anything, Paul is simply giving us a goal, something to aim at, and something to aim at as we use the tools that he suggested us to use in order to avoid anxiety and fear, or at least in order to lessen them. So, I propose, even though it is not New Year's, that we make a few resolutions here together today. I even propose that it's in a much needed thing here at the Church of the Covenant, with everything that the church has been experiencing for the past year and some of the anxiety that naturally comes along with it. The first resolution I propose is the one that Paul asks of the people of the church in Philippi. And you might have heard me say this too many times already. Fix your thoughts on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, the next two resolutions were not mentioned by Paul, but I happen to think he would have probably agreed with them, at least approved of them. They're the two things that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that tend to remind me of being joyful. The first of these two things is to laugh more. It's said that laughter is the best medicine, and there's actually, though, a lot of research, a lot of evidence that backs up the fact that laughter does a lot of positive things for us. It reduces pain and allows us to tolerate discomfort. It improves our job performance, especially our work demands creativity and solving complex problems. Its role in intimate relationships is vastly underestimated. It's really one of the glues that holds a good marriage together, or for that matter, any good relationship together. It synchronizes the brain of the speaker and the listener so that they're actually emotionally more attuned. Laughter establishes or restores a positive emotional climate and a sense of connection between two people. In fact, some researchers believe that the major function of laughter is simply to bring people together. And all of that can help reduce anxiety and fear. Seems to me that's something definitely worth trying. So the second resolution not mentioned by Paul that I'm suggesting, and that I think actually, Walt, you'll probably back me up on this one, to introduce more music into your life. Particularly something that you might be able to sing or play yourself. In 2013, the Department of Psychology at McGill University in Montreal published their findings in regard to the benefits of more music in your life. Playing, singing, and listening to music were found to significantly improve your psychological health and well-being through the engagement of neurochemical systems responsible for reward, motivation, pleasure, stress, immunity, and social affiliation. Listening to music stimulates the release of dopamine, the brain neurochemical responsible for pleasure and reward. Singing can actually increase levels of antibodies in the blood and decrease levels of stress. Singing increases levels of oxytocin, which impacts social relations and generosity. Again, clear. Music can be beneficial to reducing stress and anxiety and fear in our lives. I'm not actually imagining that we can possibly shut anxiety all out of our lives, but I do honestly believe that we can reduce it by making these resolutions here today as a spiritual community to do these three simple, very simple things. In Philippi, the church to which our reading today was written for, there seems to have been some sort of a division. Feelings had been hurt. Anxiety levels must have been high. And Paul's solution is not to tell them to talk it out or to hug it out or to work it out. All of those things would come along with his actual recommendation. The most important thing in his mind, the thing he encourages them towards at the very end of his letter, is to practice joy. Here on Joy Sunday, in a church where there has, we all know, been some division, some hurt, and where anxiety can somewhat be present, I propose we follow Paul's lead. Let us resolve to fix our thoughts on what is good. And then let's take it a step further than Paul and introduce into our lives more laughter and more music. It's my belief that if we as a community practice these few very simple things together, we will see a decrease in systemic anxiety and an increase in hope and an increase in love and an increase in joy. Couldn't we all use a little more hope, a little more love, a little more joy?